Boye caught it, got his feet down. Spectacular touchdown for the Bengals.
Spectacular, to say the least. One-on-one isolation, our best against your best on Monday Night Football. Let's go at it. Just a high point fade at the back pylon, and A.J. Green gets them both in for the opening score.
Sonsenbacher, the former Ohio State Buckeye, comes out as the third receiver. They run with the rookie Hill to the right. Goes into the secondary, and there goes Jeremy Hill midfield. Using Sanu, accelerating. Hill is gone. Touchdown.
Third and 11. Around the 43.
Gabbard from the gun. Here come the Bengals. Gabbard able to just get it off. It's picked off. Off the deflection. Adam Jones crosses the 40. 13 yards on the return. Big play for the Cincinnati defense.
Well, Adam Jones, he's been jumping up to get back on the field, and he makes play.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With an Ohio Bias presents the I-71 South podcast featuring Garrett Staples, IMD, Cleveland born and raised, Buckeye born and bred, and we bring in the veteran, Garrett Staples.
Hey, hello, everyone. Hello, with an Ohio Bias. Hey, man, let's just hop right into it. It was a interesting game out there in the DMV, my old neck of the woods where I resided. A lot of trash talk and jawing before the game, and it was just an interesting game the way it played out. Let's hop into it.
Yeah, we're going to break down that game, look ahead, of course, to the final game against the Colts. And we got to start the podcast with this, Garrett, and just get it out the way. He had a great interception showing the playmaker that he is, and now he's being vilified yet again all over the social media sphere and through NFL circles. Vontaze Burfict facing a 5-game suspension. Your thoughts?
I mean, can I put a Steelers helmet on him or a decal or a New England decal? I mean, then I think Burfict wouldn't be messed with. It's crazy, man. It's ludicrous to me. And I was looking at the Marvin Lewis take on Inquirer Bengals on IG and the film that he put out, basically the same play where a Redskins running back came out in the flat and Burfict tackles him and nothing was said. And just when you take in consideration the reactions of that game, the referees didn't even call or throw a penalty or anything. Nothing was said as far as that hit on that on the running back. It's frustrating as far as there's no consistency within the NFL. I understand they're changing the rules, making it more friendly to the offensive player. Making the rules to protect the defenseless receiver. But, I mean, at some case in point, you're getting it to the point where you're making a two-hand touch. You know, and Burfict, it was not a legal hit. His shoulder pad just happened to tap. He tapped the guy in the middle of his chest. And, you know, we understand that Burfict, he really worked hard in all season, and he's just a strong guy. So, his average hit is going to look a lot harder than your average linebacker. But it's just frustrating because there's no consistency within the league. And now, you know, I was hoping with the litigation and the mandated of the two players that are assigned for these rulings and hearings would be James Thrash and Derrick Brooks. And I was hoping Derrick Brooks, because of him being a prior linebacker who could probably understand that it's a reaction that you have a split second to react. I was hoping that Derrick Brooks would be able to rule on Burfict's suspension for his appeal, and that's not going to be the case. It'll be actually James Thrash, a wide receiver. So I almost feel like maybe this 5 games will hold up, but I'm hoping for the best, maybe 1 to 2 games. But I'm totally frustrated, like the rest of the Bengals. James Rapien, if you follow him on Twitter, it's almost like we're starting a petition or protest. It's just that frustrating.
Well, Browns fans know what the NFL suspension can do to players all too well. I'll say this: I mean, clearly I'm not a Bengals fan, but we do the podcast. I'm not, I mean, I am biased because this was an Ohio bias, but it's not a dirty hit. You made the point, and you know, what you're talking about, of his shoulder going into his chest. That's the definition of a clean hit right there. And, you know, I asked this question because this the one rebuttal that I've seen a little bit around is that, you know, is it the history of, you know, Vontaze Burfict coming in to count for this one and not so much the actual action in this in that sequence?
When you supposedly, and even with that Antonio Brown hit that, Vontaze Burfict was suspended for last year at the beginning of the season, you still have to take in consideration Burfict let up. He can hit a lot harder than that, and he let up, and he didn't leave with the crown of his helmet, unlike how Ryan Shazier did into Giovanni Bernard. And, of course, as usual, it was just a fine handed down. There was no suspension for Shazier. So it's hypocrisy. But, you know, when you look at Burfict, yeah, it's the past transgressions, and it's us being the Bengals. And I just feel like, you know, unfairly we're being picked on as usual.
All right, let's talk about the game a little bit. We talked about the interception he had during the game. You know, not a lot on the defensive side to really get excited about. You had some sacks by Jordan Willis and Carl Lawson. But Bengals give up 23 points, a lot of that in garbage time, or not garbage time, but a lot of that in the second half. But they held well to the first quarter with the field goal. And then also, too, the Bengals had got a touchdown. So it seemed the game was going in the direction you like, but when it got to those second and third units, the game just got away from them.
Well, yeah, you hit it right on the head. I mean, if you're looking from the first team's perspective, I don't believe the Redskins were able to generate – they didn't generate a first down until, like, maybe the second quarter, until I guess after Burfict came out. So – my only fear is, you know, when the second string comes in or whatever, and now that Burfict is facing the suspension, you're going to have, you know, Vinny Ray playing in there for Burfict substituted in there or whatever. You know, how much of a drop-off do you have at linebacker play when he's out? And I just take in consideration, I looked at the offense. The offense moved the ball down the first drive pretty well. But it just really concerns me is our depth, which I thought this team is very deep in different positions. Maybe not – I'll even say offensive line, I mean, with some of the veterans that we picked up. But it's just – I don't know if it's a lack of concentration or our guys are just a lot younger in there on the second and third team. But it was a major drop-off. I don't know how to explain it, you know, in that second half or whatever, because it looked like two different teams were on the field.
A lot to look at on the offensive side. You said there was a major drop-off, but when the first unit was in there, Andy Dalton went 8 of 13 for 70 yards. A.J. McCarron showed himself well, going 7 of 13 to 82 yards, but that interception was costly. 8 rushes for 31 yards, 3.9 average for Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Hill shows the goal line ability, but then gets nicked up. That's concerning. And also concerning, too, we only got, you know, a couple plays to see John Ross. He had the nice, you know, rush for 8 yards, but I want to see a little bit more out of the speedster.
Yeah, interesting. You know, the rookies are starting to make their contributions. Dalton, he's looked great all camp long. And if you're talking, you know, there's been some rumblings where, I don't know, I think it's Alabama homers who say A.J. McCarron should be the starter. If you've looked at his performance all preseason long, that talk needs to stop. It really needs to conclude and end because that hasn't been the case. Mixon is Joe Mixon. I expect greatness from that guy. You can just see it. The only thing is I hope the offensive line just continues to mature with one another, continues to gel and get better, because the guy has all the moves. I mean, can run, pass, catch, block. Even though he had that fumble, I blame part of that on, even though I blame, you know, I blame, of course, Mixon first because you're supposed to look the ball in on the handoff. But secondly, you know, it was penetration where the defensive line was pushing the pocket back. And that's just where I feel like the center, Russell Bowdown, I don't know why he's still here. But that's another conversation. And as far as, you know, addressing John Ross, he had the one reverse. He looked pretty good. I mean, he looked the part. All the hype, the combine speed, it translated to on the field. We witnessed that. We saw that. Dalton and Ross, they went for a deep shot. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, even though it was incomplete, it was kind of a positive to me because, you know, sometimes Dalton's deep ball, his arm strength on his deep ball is in question. And he actually overthrew a guy who's running a sub, what, 4.2, 4.3, 40, you know, a burner. So, I mean, you know, it's just a timing thing and chemistry thing where these guys haven't worked together because the guy is just coming off of shoulder surgery. So this is really like his first week in training camp, really, before that game, this third game, the dress rehearsal for the regular season. So all in all, I think, you know, you had some positives. And just like, you know, defensively, we're talking the young pass rushers. You're talking Carl Lawson, who looked pretty good. He's coming with that speed off of the edge, and he blanked Trent Williams. He was reaching for air. That's how fast he got low under the, you know, with his shoulder up under him and just got around him. And Jordan Willis, you know, both of the guys are impressive. And don't leave out Chris Smith, the guy that we picked up from the Jaguars in the trade. And it once a problem last year, now it looks to be solidified, the pass rush. And I even, you know, it was interesting. I've been calling, like I called for Brandon Thompson to be cut. He was cut. I think, you know, I think this may be the Pat Sims last year, but if he was to be cut, I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, Michael Johnson, I said, has been struggling at right defensive end. And from what the Bengals look like they might do, they might move, well, they actually did during the Redskins game. They moved him down to defensive tackle, which he looked pretty good getting pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, with those three younger guys that I named at defensive end, I think they're going to have Michael Johnson listed as a defensive tackle. So it was just interesting some of the things that they did and some of the things they did at safety to compensate for George Iokah being out and Sean, I want to torpedo everything, Williams being out with the elbow injury. So it's just interesting how they're going about their business. And I think, you know, with Marcus Flowers, I don't understand. New England is loaded and you actually you traded this linebacker. He's been injury prone with the Bengals, but you trade him for next to nothing. And basically what you do is you get that compensatory seventh round pick back for the trade that you made to the Jaguars to actually get Chris Smith. So I get why they did it, but why help the enemy? Because you know these guys are going to be the cream of the crop in the AFC in the playoffs. And they've already gotten another one of our guys via free agency and Rex Burkhead. So it's just interesting, but, you know, there's definitely some things the Bengals need to clean up, and especially those second and third units. And interesting to see with the roster cuts coming down to the end with the fourth preseason game, who are they going to keep and who are they going to let go and move to the practice squad?
Well, you talk about some of the plays that, you know, were encouraging. A.J. Green was 4 for 43 yards, and Adam Erickson was getting elusive out there, 3 catches for 51 yards. But maybe the play that was most fascinating was the behind-the-back move by the punter Hoover, who has been all over social media, and it led to the cut of Monday. So he won his job with that move alone.
Yeah, Kevin Huber, special teams was a little bit interesting this game. Elliott missed a pretty much a chip shot on the field goal, and then I don't know the punt blocking broke down for Huber, and he had to make that move, and he actually wasn't able to get that punt off. But, I mean, hey, that was a valiant effort, and he did make that Redskin look silly, and it was all over the social media. But it's one of those things where, you know, from your special teams to your offensive line and defensive line, you got to do your job, and those are some of the issues that the Bengals are having. You know, whether it's run defense, whether it's pass blocking or run blocking. I really hope that, you know, between these next 2 weeks, these starters, even though that they won't be playing in the fourth preseason game, which is basically just for guys who are trying to make that the end of that roster and get in there or make the practice squad or get video film on there for a different team. You know, they've got to get this stuff cleaned up before the regular season opener.
Well, you talk about that Thursday night, 7:00, the Bengals will be playing the Indianapolis Colts. We know there won't be any Andrew Luck. I don't think the Colts, being the horseshoes as their symbol, will have any luck at all when it comes to this fourth preseason game against the Bengals.
This Andrew Luck situation, I don't know what this shoulder, it must be worse off than before. They're questioning if he's even going to be ready week one, you know. So it's the guy, I don't know, I don't think he's been throwing. He hasn't been, you know, really practicing with the team. So, yeah, whoever the backup is for Indianapolis with the Bengals and, you know, with A.J. McCarron and
Scott Tolzien by way of Wisconsin, yeah, I believe.
Well, yeah, that should be a win for the Bengals. I'm thinking, you know, A.J. McCarron, I still think his trade value is still pretty high, and it's still possible he could start with other teams within the NFL. So we shall see. But I should be a game that the Bengals win, even though it's, to me, it's almost a glorified practice almost when you take out the starters. The starters won't be playing in this game.
Yeah, and they do need another quarterback there. They don't have another one on the roster. They go to the punter as an emergency quarterback. So, you'll get a whole lot of Wisconsin on with Scott Tolzien there. Any cuts you see coming, Garrett, or you want to wait till the next podcast because we'll have to definitely – is there anything that you want to look into the crystal ball and give people something to hold on to with this final game?
Oh, sure. I think it's interesting. You know, like the Bengals actually traded just here officially today, Marcus Flowers to the Patriots for a 7th-round pick. I thought he could have been on the chopping block, and they ended up just trading him. And then I take in consideration Michael Johnson, who is a great community guy. I'm a veteran. Actually has a veteran night every year. I actually won tickets to go to the game for free, but, you know, the NFL is what have you done for me lately? And just production-wise, I think the only way that he stays on this team is like they've done with bringing in the young defensive ends, the three defensive ends that I mentioned, Smith, Lawson, and Willis. I think the only way he stays on the team is as being moved down to a defensive tackle. You know, so that's my major guy for right now that I, you know, as far as cuts are concerned, that I could see. And then maybe I'll throw one more out there, and he's a former first-round pick. I don't see him being cut this year, but I do see – I don't see the Bengals bringing him back for another deal, and that's Darquez Dennard. He's been kind of a bust.
Well, clearly by your tone, you're not a big fan of the fourth preseason game. Most NFL players agree with you in that. But I will ask you this. How do you feel about the way that they've changed the system for getting down to the 53-man roster? You know, all these cuts are coming at one time. It's going to be one dark Saturday.
Well, I mean, I look at it from I'm a fan of underdogs, and, you know, some of these undrafted free agents, it gives them at least all 4 weeks of the preseason to put put their best foot forward and put film, you know, put play on film. That way, if, you know, hey, some, we all know the NFL and football in general, there are going to be injuries. So at least these different teams, their scouting departments can all have this film. So if someone gets injured, hey, I can bring them up from the practice squad. Hey, they're undrafted, but hey, we need to bring him in. So I think it's a great thing that they're waiting till after the fourth preseason game to have to make the cuts. And I think, you know, I think the coaching staffs, they still do it like, you know, as, you know, this week, the second week we're going to make these cuts, the third week. So it's still the same principle where they already know who their cuts are going to be.
All right. Well, I'm definitely excited to get to the real football. We'll be back with a huge podcast, ladies and gentlemen, to kick off the season, all things to preview game one. And then we're also going to have Garrett take one more look at that schedule game because things might have changed in his perspective. But we'll save that for the next podcast. Make sure you're giving us a like on Facebook at With an Ohio Bias. Please make sure you're following us on Twitter for the hot takes at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter. It got real heated about Vontaze Burfict, so you might want to go back and check that feed. And then you know you can find this podcast always at withanohiobias.com. In the iTunes store where podcasts are available. Also in the Google Play section where podcasts are available. And, of course, on the Stitcher app, you can take that on the go. And also, too, in your cars, if you're going up 71 or 75, you can definitely listen to With an Ohio Bias on AirPlay through Stitcher. So definitely a lot of ways to listen to this podcast and many podcasts that we offer at With an Ohio Bias. Garrett, take us out.
Ladies and gents, I'm looking forward to getting this fourth preseason game over. I think that's why they, you know, they put it on Thursday so we can hurry up and get it over with and get prepared for week one. So I wish all the undrafted free agents the best trying to make the team with those last roster spots. Hopefully, you know, even you still need your second units and your third units. Hopefully guys are just healthy. And, you know, when I wrap it up, you know what I'm going to tell you guys. Hootay and go Bengals.